Frustrations about postal service in Skagway flare again, and a candidate for the Hainesboro manager job visits town. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. Skagway residents are once again concerned with operations at the local post office after both local employees were apparently fired in the last week, leaving only a temporary postmaster on staff. But customers are voicing their frustrations. Residents like Reba Ratty are writing letters, emails, making phone calls, and posting on Facebook to get the word out that the Skagway Post Office needs help.
I keep quoting the Big Lebowski and saying, this will not stand. Will not stand, man. And so hopefully people are listening.
Word about short staffing at the post office started spreading over the weekend when Arianne Burnham mentioned on her Facebook page that she had been fired from her postal clerk position. She said the firing had to do with a planned vacation, and the American Postal Workers Union is helping her contest the firing. But Burnham also wrote that Robert Bassett had been fired. That left only the temporary postmaster staffing the office. While losing her job concerns her, Burnham said she is also concerned with what the short staffing will do to the rest of the town.
Because the post office is such a major thing, you know what I mean? Like, that's your mail, that's your bills, that's Christmas presents, that's packages from loved ones, that's medication, there's so much that is involved with the post office.
In the last week, residents have expressed frustration not only about Burnham and Bassett's firing, but with the long lines and delays they are now experiencing at the post office, especially coming into the holiday season. Tourism Director Buckwheat Donahue was one of those who said the post office opened late on Monday, and mail already seems to be backed up.
I had some letters to mail, and I put them in the little slot. I had to push them in forcefully because the mail was stacked up so high.
But U.S. Postal Service officials said they are confident they have staffing issues resolved. Spokesperson Ernie Swanson said the post office opened only 15 minutes late on Monday after the acting postmaster had problems with the computer system.
Apparently it was like 10 or 15 minutes late, and it was because of computer problems. And he apparently chose not to open the office rather than have it not be operational until he could get the computer situation straightened out, which he was able to do.
Swanson said the acting postmaster is remaining on staff until a permanent hire can be made, probably sometime early next year. And the Juneau Post Office is planning on sending clerical help to staff the office until permanent clerks are hired, he said.
So we think we're going to be in good shape for the holiday mailing season.
But that is not placating residents like Ratty. She is one of the dozens who have posted on the Skagway Swap Facebook page about who to contact to complain about the situation. She's reached out to the Alaska Congressional Delegation, the Governor's Office, the USPS Consumer Advocate Line in Washington, D.C., and the Director of the USPS Anchorage Branch.
I've just kind of taken it upon myself to call everyone and anyone that is willing to listen.
Congressional representatives, at least, are responding. Senator Mark Begich's office has been fielding complaints from Skagway residents, said spokesperson Heather Handyside. Begich's staff has been in contact with postal officials, she said. Senator Lisa Murkowski's office is also fielding complaints. Murkowski got involved in May when she was alerted to concerns about the post office during a visit to town. She established an email and phone line for Skagway residents to contact. She talked with postal officials, and by July, it seemed things were mostly resolved when the Postal Service authorized the hiring of an additional employee. But with another siege of complaints, Murkowski spokesperson Matthew Felling said the senator is interested in figuring out if there is a more systemic problem.
We are looking into it. We are working with the Postal Service. We're working with every representative that we possibly can, not only asking what's going on, but we also want to take a step back and find out how we got here. Is there a systemic problem that we really need to just focus on before we just fix this at this moment? Because the Skagway community knows that this has been an on-again, off-again situation, and we don't want it to be a lingering issue any more than anybody there does.
While some residents express relief that the congressional delegation is getting involved, they wish it didn't have to come to this. Donahue said regional postal officials in Juneau and Anchorage should be more involved before staffing issues start affecting mail service.
You know, I mean, when you have to go through a U.S. senator's office, right, to get answers, That should tell you that there are huge problems in Anchorage right there.
To connect with Skagway residents about the issue, visit the Skagway Swap Facebook page. We'll bring you updates on the situation as they arise. The Haines Borough is hosting a visitor this week, a candidate for the borough manager job. David Sosa and his wife and daughter are arriving in Haines on Wednesday and scheduled to stay until Friday. The borough assembly voted at its last meeting to approve travel for Sosa and his wife to come to Haines for an in-person interview. Mayor Stephanie Scott said the Sosas decided to bring their daughter on the trip at their own expense. Sosa is the first candidate from this round of applicants the assembly has voted to have come to Haines for a second interview. The assembly said they were also interested in talking more with Anchorage applicant Susan Jensen. She was one of four candidates, along with Sosa, who took part in an interview via Skype in early November. Mayor Scott said she and assembly members Diana Lapham and George Campbell, along with executive assistant Darcy Colbeck, met with Jensen at the recent Alaska Municipal League convention in Anchorage. Scott said the group will have a recommendation for the assembly at its next meeting on the 10th about Jensen, but won't say more until then. Sosa is currently wrapping up his career in the Marine Corps and lives in North Carolina. He will be formally interviewed by the assembly on Thursday at 5:30 p.m. in assembly chambers. That will be open to the public. Sosa will then attend a public reception at the borough library at 7 p.m. While in town, Scott said Sosa will conduct a staff meeting with borough employees, tour borough facilities with Public Facilities Director Carlos Jimenez, and visit the Haines School. Alaska fishermen want to broaden the experimental use of cameras and other monitoring devices in the federal government's Fishery Observer Program. Under the recently revamped program, many more vessels, including smaller boats, can now be required to carry an observer at times. A new industry proposal is aimed at making electronic monitoring available as an alternative to carrying that extra person on the boat. Matt Lichtenstein reports.
The federal government expanded its Fishery Observer program this past year. For the first time, that meant halibut boats and smaller vessels, 40 to 60 feet long, could be selected to carry an observer. But according to Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association Director Linda Bankin, that's not feasible for many.
There's a lot of the small boat fleet that simply cannot accommodate another person. They don't have a bunk. They don't have a safety equipment. Just don't have space for that. So we saw a number of people apply for a release to observer coverage on those grounds. Actually, 65% of the boats selected in the first three quarters of the year, which is the data I've seen so far, the 65% of the boats that were selected applied for a release and were granted a release.
Bankin credits Alaska Department of Fish and Game Commissioner and North Pacific Fishery Management Council member Cora Campbell for helping to make sure that relief was available. Bankin thinks the releases were needed to lessen the burden of the expanded program. However, she says it also meant that the National Marine Fisheries Service fell short of its goals for observer coverage. So Bankin says Alpha is working with other fishing groups to pursue electronic monitoring, or EM, as an alternative to carrying observers on small boats. In October, they applied for a federal permit to broaden the experimental use of cameras and other electronic equipment.
We all recognize there will continue to be a need for observers on the water, but that there are places, there are times, there is a significant portion of the fleet that is better served by having electronic monitoring to ensure you get representative data and that you get it in a cost-effective way. So we're looking to integrate EM to use it where it can get the data that managers need and can get it in a way that's less intrusive, less costly than deploying human observers.
Federal fishery managers are taking a slower approach to the issue than the industry would like. NIMFS has a small-scale EM pilot program that involved just a handful of participants this past year. Alpha wants to incorporate that into the broader industry-backed project to test technology on more boats. 60 vessels would be the goal for the first year. NIMFS has been considering the proposal, according to Martin Leflad, who is director of the agency's Fisheries Monitoring and Analysis Division. While he won't comment on the industry application while it's still under review, Leflad says NIMFS is also trying to advance EM.
What we're trying to do is improve the quality of the imagery that we're getting from vessels. There's a lot of hype on this EM stuff worldwide, actually, going on right now. And what we've seen is there's a lot of work has been done all over the world that has been duplicating the same sorts of things. We want to get out of duplication and actually move this stuff forward. I personally think EM has massive potential and could revolutionize the way we sample if we do it right.
Observers record catch data and other information for use in fishery management and research. Leflad says electronic monitoring will never do exactly what a person does.
People can do a variety of things. EM can do some things very, very well, and we want to figure out what things it does well. And then so we can use that potentially as a tool to supplement those areas where putting a person on a boat simply is not a feasible process.
Leflad says together, NIMFS and the industry may be able to make some progress on moving electronic monitoring forward. The agency has told the North Pacific Council that it will have the capacity to deploy EM equipment on 14 vessels in its pilot project next year. As an incentive for participation, NIMFS proposed that volunteers would avoid the possibility of being selected to carry an observer. That would also be the case in the industry proposal. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Matt Lichtenstein for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.